Thank you all for coming to our town hall. I just wanted to bring everybody's attention first to what's on your table. There's a couple of very important findings about the Battle of Wounded Knee, and those packets are stapled on your table. Also, there are two flyers. One is a pamphlet around the NC, I can never remember your acronym, I'm sorry, the NCPCF, who asked us to organize this event, and then also a flyer about an upcoming event for Carlos Montes. And then there's some other things which we'll bring up later. My name is An Pham. I'm a member of the Committee to Stop FBI Repression, which is the other co-sponsor of this event. I'm also one of the people that was raided by the FBI almost 2 years ago. And I'm going to be your MC for the day, and hopefully you won't have to hear from me very much. As I said earlier, the little white post-it notes that I pass around, if people want to grab that. If you have questions while the speakers are speaking, because I'm very excited about the lineup of speakers that we have here, we want to try and keep things rolling. So if you have questions, please write them up. We'll have a section, a time for speakers after everybody is done. And then it'll be followed by a town hall, and there's already on your table, there's at least one resolution. There's a couple of other statements and flyers that we're going to ask people to present and talk about. But as this event is happening, if things come up that you think is important to you, that's important, that should be important to us, please feel free to participate, because this is what it is. It's a town hall. We wanted this to be a participatory thing and not just us talking at you. And without further ado, I want to introduce Jess Sundin, who's also a member of the CSFR. She's just going to do a couple of introductory remarks for this event.
So nice to see everyone here today. I know it's a gorgeous day outside, but I think we're going to have a gorgeous discussion in here. So I'm glad to have you all here with us. I just wanted to introduce the topic of our forum today and invite you all to join the discussion. To answer the question of why our committee organized this event at all. Aside from the very generous invitation of our friends from the National Coalition to Protect Civil Freedoms asking us to organize it, we also felt it was very important. The history of political repression in this country is as long as the history of dissent in this country, which is to say it's as long as the history of this country. As we ourselves have become the target of this repression for our anti-war and international solidarity activism, we have found common ground with many people and movements and communities that have also been attacked for standing against the agenda of US rulers. I hope that today's discussion will help us build unity, not only based on how we have been attacked and targeted, but also in how we are standing up to defend ourselves, our communities, and the rights of all of us to continue to demand justice, social change, and peace. Along with everyone whose homes were raided on September 24th, 2010, like myself, I come out of the anti-war movement and the international solidarity movement. The activism that we are doing, that we've been targeted for, comes from a tradition of solidarity work that has been carried out here for decades. Opposing U.S. military and economic intervention, defending human rights, solidarity delegations or hosting international speakers, and giving political support to national liberation movements. The movements in solidarity with Latin America, the movement against apartheid in South Africa, and support for the Irish Republican movement are just a few examples of this history. After these decades of internationalism, today there are new laws that criminalize solidarity work. The attack on us is based on a relatively new legal framework, which redefines solidarity work as support for terrorism. This attack on us demonstrates how defending dissent, topic of our discussion today, is important political work in and of itself, and it's critical to making sure that we can do any political work at all. This is true not only for those of us doing international solidarity work. We can't build any kind of people's movement if we fail to defend our people when they're under attack, or if we allow ourselves to be silenced by the fear that these attacks can inspire. Their laws, their investigations, organizations and the cases they bring against us are all designed to limit the right to dissent and to narrow the political space that we have to do any of our very important work. We're trying hard to turn the attack on us into the opposite of that, not only to stand behind the work that we've done, but using our defense work to continue to build the movements that we've come out of. I am hopeful that we can share some of our experiences and pass on our lessons that we've gained in just these couple of years, and I have a few that I want to focus on for today. First, I'll cut right to the chase, the role of undercover FBI and police agents. As many of you know, a woman who called herself Karen Sullivan spent 2 years in the anti-war committee, claiming to be committed to the work that we were doing, claiming that she was one of us. In fact, she spent those 2 years spying on us and using the anti-war committee to allow her to spy on our allies and coalition partners, not only here in the Twin Cities, but across the country. Everything she ever said to us was a lie. Lies that we began to understand only after the coordinated raids on our homes and offices carried out by some 70 FBI agents from 6 different FBI field offices across the country in September of 2010. It was on the words of this liar, Karen Sullivan, that our homes and our lives were turned upside down. Last month, many of us were in Chicago to protest the NATO summit, the meeting of the generals of the global 1%. How many people were at those demonstrations? How many people saw the news of those demonstrations? Okay, so I think everyone knows what I'm talking about. We were just beginning to understand, we're just now beginning to understand the role of undercover agents in the outrageous terrorism charges that are being brought against several of the young people who went to Chicago to protest the NATO generals. None of us know what those young people did or did not say to the agents who posed as their friends and comrades. That said, we have every reason to believe that this will be another case of undercover agents manufacturing crimes, luring innocent people into their plots, and then catching the innocent, thus saving Chicagoans from the terrible crimes planned by the police themselves. That's what I believe happened in Chicago. And there are now almost half a dozen people, we'll be talking a bit about it later, who are on serious terrorism charges in Chicago, still in jail because their bail has set some of them at $1.5 million, if you can imagine, because undercover agents tried to lure them into plots that they themselves invented. We have to be really sure who our friends are. And if they're talking a lot of trouble, we should really question whether that person is a friend at all. Now, our homes were raided almost 2 years ago, and no one's been called to a grand jury in a year and a half. And you may wonder, is the case against us just going away? I wish that were the case, but I'm afraid not. The grand jury, like those undercover agents, operates in secret, in the shadows, just like cockroaches. Our strategy from day one has been to shine a very bright light on those cockroaches and try to get them to scurry away. We want the world to know what they're doing. We've stood by our activism and our friends and told the world that what they're doing to us is wrong. I believe that the outpouring of support that we have received from across the country and even across the world is the reason that not one of us was compelled to testify before that grand jury after we first refused. You may know they have the legal option to imprison us simply for refusing to testify against ourselves and our friends. Knowing that we could be jailed for that, we refused anyway. But because they knew we wouldn't go quietly, we wouldn't slip into the shadows with them, I think that held them off. And that said, the investigation hasn't stopped. Earlier this week, FBI agents visited one of our colleagues in North Carolina, attempting to question her about us, and specifically about work in solidarity with Colombia, including international solidarity delegations. They are still working to build a case against myself and the other 23 activists who first became targeted, as far as we knew, on September 24th of 2010. Not only are they working to imprison us, but maybe they're working to see how many of our friends and associates they can pull into the case as well. Which brings me to my next lesson that I think is very important. What do you do if an FBI agent knocks on your door? Do you invite them in?
No.
Do you say, let's stand on the porch and talk?
No.
You don't talk. You guys already know this lesson. The most important thing you can do, the most single most important choice you can make is not to talk to them. Don't be polite. Don't try to be smart and figure out what they want. Just try to get rid of them as fast as you can. Nothing you can say will save yourself or your friends in court. And they can lie about what you tell them, but if you lie to them, that is a crime in and of itself for which you could be punished. No good can come to talking of the FBI, so just don't do it. That said, you can offer to have your lawyer contact them after they leave, but oftentimes, as has been the case with many of my friends, they won't even give you a name and number for your lawyer to call. You wonder why? That doesn't make sense. Ah, but it goes back to the cockroaches theory. They don't want anyone to know what they're up to. Shine a light on them and they run away, right? And so that's the second thing you need to do when the FBI calls you is get out your flashlight and shine a light on it. Tell everyone what is happening. You can write about it in Fight Back News. Tell the people in the political groups that you work with. The last speaker on our panel will be Carlos Montes. And I think his story points to the final lessons that I want to share with you today. First, Carlos got caught up in our case as they attempted to bring charges against us and the people we work with. Now, unable to bring direct charges against any of us so far, they went through a back door. They cooked up a bogus case against him, going after a story from 42 years ago, and claiming that that was the basis of an arrest now. They are using their powers to go after an ever-expanding circle of our friends and our associates. It's very dangerous when they begin to target any of us. Really and truly, they're targeting all of us, everyone we ever worked with, that we ever met, and that we ever knew. That is why we have to rise to the very important task of defending those who are under attack. And so even though I know it's going to be mentioned more than once today, I want to ask all of you to join us for a protest on his trial date, June 20th, which is a Wednesday, at 4:30 at the Federal Building in Minneapolis. You've got a quarter sheet in front of you to help you remember. You can call the district attorney in Los Angeles if you haven't already, or even if you have, call him on Monday, Steve Cooley, tell him to drop the charges, but also come, make plans to come and stand with us and stand up and shine a light on the case against Carlos Montes and demand that the charges be dropped. I just want to close by saying it's an honor to share the stage today, not only with Carlos virtually, but also with Clyde and all of our other speakers. Now more than ever, we have to unite and fight for our right to dissent.